You're listening to Find Your Flow in MoCo, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Find Your Flow in MoCo, and I'm your host, Danielle Gibson. I am really, really excited about our guest today, and she is one of our Visit Decatur AL ambassadors. I think she's one of our originals, and she is with the Chasing Art Project, among many other things that Glenn participates in. So thank you, Glenn, for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Super excited to be here today.
We're going to do our favorite segment about the cheese straws. So, Glenn, can you explain what a cheese straw is to our audience?
Absolutely. So, this Southern delicacy, I liken it to the Southern version of a biscotti. The Europeans have biscotti. We have cheese straws. Kind of hard to explain. Texture doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but we love them anyway. It's kind of a cross between a biscuit and a cracker, but a biscotti is so hard and you got to, it's kind of the same thing. You got to love it to love it.
I love that explanation. I have loved the cheese straw segment because we've not had anybody describe the cheese straw, easy for me to say, the same. So let's talk about you. Tell us a little bit about yourself. And I think we've been talking about the Chasing Art Project for what, 6+ years? I know this has been a vision of yours for like a long, long time.
Yeah, probably going on 10 years now, I would say.
A decade.
It's been a minute, yeah. So I'm originally from Los Angeles. So I grew up in a world of graffiti. And as we've watched through the years, graffiti has turned into street art. We still have graffiti, but people have actually become to appreciate the artistic talent of the street artists that create street art. And then you take street art and you push it a little bit further and commission it and pay for it, and you have public art. So the Chasing Art Project, I started literally 10 years ago because I travel a lot and I love going home to LA, but I'm really kind of a New Yorker at my core. And there are some amazing public art displays all around New York. So I just was really thought I would love to have some of this in Decatur in my sleepy little town that I love so much, that I live here by choice. And I want my kids to have some of this at home as well. And a great small town in Arkansas started a project probably about 10 years ago now. And their footprint mirrors our footprint almost identically. It's a very small town. It has a very small arts college in it. Their downtown is 2 city blocks. And it just blew up. They started commissioning artists, a lot of European artists to come in. That's how I found out about them. A couple of the artists that I follow personally showed up in Arkansas. I called my mom, who lives in Arkansas. And I was like, hey, why is this artist in Arkansas of all places? She's like, I don't know. So I got in my car literally that day, drove 7 hours, and shook hands with this artist that I've been drooling over forever and started watching their project. And it has just blown up and blossomed. And it gave me the courage to bring that to Decatur. I was like, well, if this small footprint can do it, then our small footprint can do it as well. And that's really kind of how it took off.
So downtown Decatur is becoming more and more known for its vibrant art scene. So can you describe kind of the creative process behind the murals that you have gotten completed in downtown Decatur? You're absolutely amazing at this. I don't really know how. I've seen you like sketch on the big walls. I'm like, what? You're just amazing. So how do you decide what the art is going to look like? Kind of walk us through that process.
Well, let's start with the horse, because that's probably the easiest for me to kind of talk through. So we were gifted that wall, and I knew that for myself, the Chasing Art Project, I really wanted it to encompass all the cultural values of Decatur. And so, but I didn't want it to be super obvious, I guess. Because I think art should be up for interpretation, and I can see something in a piece, but I want somebody else to be able to see what they want to see in it. And so for me, that particular piece, I knew that I wanted to pay ode to the family that had donated the wall to the Chasing Art Project, and they have an Indian heritage, but we have a lot of Indian heritage in Native American mm-hmm. Indian heritage in Decatur. We have our burial grounds out on the river. I mean, we just have so much here. And so I thought that was a great piece to kick it off with. So I started designing, like, I knew that I wanted a horse on the wall. I have an artist who goes by Cobra who had just done 10 pieces in New York, and I love his style. It's incredible. I have a great friend who's an artist out of LA. We've done a couple of projects together in the past, and I knew that between he and I, we could really accomplish anything. So we set out together. We sat at another local artist, Mike Williams' house, who helped us house our artist while he was here, and sat out at his kitchen table and just started working through the whole concept right there on his laptop. Like, we knew we wanted a horse. We knew that we wanted it to have this kind of kaleidoscope of color. I knew that I wanted to have pieces of like an Indian blanket, which is the backdrop of the mural itself. We started kind of working through it, placing patterns and whatnot. And that's how we came up with the design. And that's kind of how the artist project piece by piece kind of works each time. I just kind of start with a thought, and then we work through designs, colors. Especially now that I know that most of our citizens are looking for piece that they can be photographed with, I do try to simplify out a lot of my designs. The horse is super, super heavy laden in design. And so now I do try to do things that are just a little bit more simple so that they're easily photographed and they photograph really well.
I think so, you're expert at that too, aren't you?
I do some photography on the side.
Yeah.
Just a little
bit. You're kind of
Jack
amazing.
Of all trades.
Just, you know. I mean, if we keep asking you about things, you're like, yeah, I did that one time.
Yeah, I did that too.
I'm like, yeah. What?
I like to build things.
How do you know? Do all these things or know how to do all these things. Yeah. So I think I've seen it, the murals in like so many senior pictures, I can't even count.
Yeah, I love that. That's kind of one of my favorite things, especially when I'll have somebody who I don't know and then they'll take their photos there, but then somebody I do know sends me their photos and they're like, look how beautiful these photos are. And it's because it's in front of the walls. And I just love that. I just think, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah.
But I just want our whole town to be full of beautiful pieces that mean things to everyone, different things to different people, but really can be relatable to anybody.
So there is something that goes on all of your murals. I think it's a bee. Mm-hmm. So can you talk about the bee and what that means?
Yeah, it's probably my favorite part of all of our walls. So my dear friend Jason Sharp and I talked about this mural project years and years and years ago. And just as we were getting it off the ground, I was like, I think we're going to start a couple of walls, da, 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 da. I had a building on the corner of Oak and Lee. And so I was like, hey, let's put something on this building. And mm-hmm. he was like, all right. So he and I sat up until, I don't know, 2 a.m, I guess, painting this bumblebee on the side of this building, just because the building was black and it had yellow doors. And that's just where my mind went. But we painted it, and when we were finished, he was like, let's tag it. I was like, okay, what are we going to tag it? And if you knew Jason at all, he is probably one of the most kind humans that walked the city. We used to all joke and call him the mayor of Decatur because everyone knew him, and he was just the nicest guy on the planet. And so he was like, let's tag it with Be Kind Decatur, like B-E-E, Be Kind. I was like, I love this. and so he passed away before I got the horse up. And the horse was supposed to be our official first piece. But now I say that the bee is. And mm-hmm. So in ode to him and how much we love him and miss his talents here in Decatur, we put a bee on every single Chasing Art project. Sometimes it's hidden in the wings of the butterfly wings on the back of Second Avenue. There is a bee in there. It's hidden by the artist. But most of them are pretty easy to point out.
So the butterfly wings are also kind of a big deal. You want to talk about those?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So Kelsey, who is a world-renowned artist, everyone knows her Nashville wings. I mean, I don't even know how many times they've been photographed. I'd say in the millions at this point. Mm-hmm. She is usually booked like 3 to 5 years out. And when we started the Chasing Art Project, she was one of the first artists that I reached out to. And we completely lucked out. This was probably one of the only great things that came from that period that of time where we were all on lockdown.
Yep.
But she had so many cancellations that year because of that. And her goal as an artist is to have a piece in all 50 states, and there was nothing in Alabama yet. So we got moved from 3 years out to like 12 walls out. And so we got her that very year that we requested her within, I don't know, I think I requested her in like January and we got her in October. So 10 months later, she was in Decatur putting wings on our walls. So we are still, I think, her only wall in Alabama, first for her in this state. And I'm super, super proud that we literally piecemealed the money together because we had spent our fundraising money on the horse and we were at the beginning of the fundraising for a new wall. And her walls, you know that old saying, like, I don't get out of bed for less than this? Well, let me just tell you, Kelsey does not get out of bed for less than. So I think I begged, borrowed, I think I pimped out like my car, anything that I could. I wrote a pretty big check myself. Like, we did everything we could, but we accomplished it, and that was super exciting.
I love her Instagram page too. I like to follow what she's doing. Mm-hmm. She's pretty amazing. So thank you so much for getting her here.
Absolutely. She is amazing. I love her and her sister both. They're a great duo.
So let's also talk about the Decatur Naturally as well. That was a really fun project that we got to partner with you on. So tell us how that process worked. And then also you were able to incorporate the school as well.
Yeah, that was the best part, actually. So I think that every town should have some public art. I just think that's part of the culture of the town. And it tells people who come visit the town what the town's about. That I just think that's should be a minimum for every town. I think every single town needs to have what I call them a welcome wall. And that's usually a wall that has the name of the town in it. And you know, whatever else they deem necessary to give themselves a little view into the city, I guess. And so I had been talking with you guys about different things like that and mural trails and whatnot. And I was like, you know, we really need a welcome wall. And I think we could put one, you know, in this little thoroughfare right here, which would be great, right in the entrance of coming into Second Avenue. And so we agreed, yes, let's do this. And I got to ask the art students from Decatur High to help with the wall. So after we got it designed, they came and spent like a whole week with us painting and getting that wall up. So that was just super sweet that we got to partner not only with you guys, but also with the school and getting that welcome wall up. I love it. It's probably one of my favorites. I love the color scheme of it. And I just like that it kind of, we all know that there are certain things about Decatur, like the Balloon Festival and the Crane Festival, which are super important to tourism and our natural beauty. But sometimes I think we forget to just, if you just look off to the side and you can see the rivers and then the y'all call them mountains, I call them hills because I'm from California, but like Burning Tree Mountain and the mountains in Hartsville. It's just such a beautiful aesthetic. I get to drive home that way every day. And I guess that's partly why I'm so in love with it. But I love nothing more than coming down the causeway and seeing the river and the mountains. It's one of my favorite things.
And you don't give yourself enough credit. I remember seeing you kind of like hanging on the side of that wall, like designing it. And I think your daughter might have been with you as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, you put hours and hours into that. So thank you for investing in this community. You're amazing.
Oh, thank you so much.
So how do you see art, especially like public art initiatives like murals, contributing to the overall culture and identity in the spirit of Decatur? We created the MoCo Mural Trail, and I will say it's by far are probably most used trail. I think people just absolutely love the work that you have done. So how do you feel like that's contributing to bringing the culture?
Well, I think the first thing that public art does is bring pride to the people who live in the community. And there were a couple of years, I've lived here for about 30 years. And I would say that there was a small period of time, maybe about 10 years ago now, that there seemed to be a little bit of not so much pride that I had seen in the past and really wanted to see again. And I feel like one of the first things that public art does is give the people who live in the city something to be proud of. We have all these beautiful landscapes now, and it takes buildings that were maybe a little bland and a little boring and maybe didn't feel like they had ownership in because they didn't own the building. But I feel like the community feels ownership in public art. And so that's one of the first things that I think that it brings. I also feel like it really inspires young people. And that was one of the goals of mine, is I want for young artists, first of all, to be able to look at something grand and aspire to be able to do the same thing, if that's their goal. But I also feel like when we, like, for instance, one of the pieces that is still yet to go up, but I want to get up, is the Mae Jameson piece. And I really feel like I want for young Black girls to look at the Mae Jameson piece, because it will be done as if she's a child, and think, okay, this woman came from this town,
right?
The same town I live in, with the same resources that I have, and she became the first Black female astronaut.
Right.
I can do the exact same thing. And it's, to me, Huntsville's done a really good job of representing Mae. I would like for Decatur to really represent her, because I want for the kids here who maybe just don't even know. Like, when we were working on the horse, we would have people stop and say, what's your next piece? And I would say, I'm not sure what the next piece is, but the most important piece will be this Mae Jameson piece. And I would have so many people say, who is that? So
what? What?
Huh?
What? How is that?
That was
possible?
My respect.
Well, you're like, well, actually,
do you have a minute? So to educate, to inspire, to make proud. I mean, that's to me what public art does for a community, and that's why it's so important to me.
Well, I can't even imagine the sense of pride you have to, like, starting from, like, especially with the horse, like, just starting with a piece of paper. I'm sure it was like a scratch piece of paper somewhere, and you're like, yeah, that's a good idea, let's do it. And then, like, to see it come to life, and then to see people enjoy it and take pictures of it, like, I can't imagine the sense of pride that you have taking that from where a piece of paper to an incredible piece of art that everybody gets to enjoy.
I do feel pride. I do. But as any artist or any creative knows, that when one is finished, your next one is burning a hole in you, and you almost forget about the ones you've already done. So most of my days are not spent going, oh, I sure do love that. But most of my days are like, how can I get the next one up? So
I love creatives. I'm not a creative, but I love all of you so much. It's absolutely incredible. So is Mae Jameson the one that's like burning a hole right now?
It is. It will be the one that will burn a hole into me. I will be able to easily pass the torch on to somebody else once I get Mae up.
So tell me, is there like, so you've spent a lot of time obviously on the walls. So when they were going up, is there anything that like sticks out in your mind from either residents or visitors that just, you're like, wow, what an experience.
There's a whole lot of honking and high-fiving and we love this and thank you so much. But I want to say probably my favorite thing that I have personally experienced with the public art in Decatur was I was photographing the turtle trail one time. And I was trying to just, you know, capture them. And I walked up to the ones that are in front of the mellow mushroom. And this little girl was, I mean, she was a toddler, maybe one and a half. And she was on all fours and she was touching it. And I just thought it was the cutest thing ever. So I start talking to her mom. And they had driven over from Gunnersville just to go find all the turtles for their daughter who loved turtles. And it was just it was just the sweetest moment. And it was just such an aha for me about what public art does and what the Public Art Indicator is doing for our community. I mean, they, of course, you know, I love tourism and I love numbers and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I ended up having a rather in-depth, like, did you eat lunch while you were here? Have you done any shopping while you
were
here?
How much did you spend?
Like, could you tell me if you spent like more than $100 while you touched these turtles? Like, that's where my brain went because I'm also a business owner. But I just, that was probably the most precious moment that I've personally experienced, was just in that moment with that sweet little family and their little girl and their love of turtles. I just thought it was amazing.
So we didn't really talk about that because obviously, again, you can do all the things. So you're a really impressive hairstylist as well and a business owner in the downtown district. So what have you really seen over the last, I would even say like decade from the downtown that it is, was 10 years ago and where it is today?
I mean, it's just, it is completely different. For it to be the exact same set of buildings, and not even the exact same because we've had so much growth this year alone with the new Marriott and new townhomes off of Bank. I mean, there has been a lot of change of the landscape, but the type of businesses that we have now are completely different. When I opened my salon in 2001 on Second Avenue, I mean, we had like a kids boutique. We had Grand Bazaar, which was one of my favorite things. And I'm so glad she's reopened. she was next door to us. It was probably one of my favorite stores on Second Avenue. And a couple of boutiques. I mean, like, but it was just your typical downtown. And now with the arts college, that started changing the landscape. The art has changed the landscape. The amount of personal ownership that the different business owners have brought to us has changed the landscape. I mean, my dad still lives in LA, but he has a home here. So he's here about every 3 to 4 years. And I always love watching him come through downtown after about 4 years. And his eyes get all big and he's like, oh my God, that was a this the last time I was here. And now it's a that. And I mean, it's just, it's miraculous. I wish we had a time-lapse video that we could play from the last 10 years of just maybe even two corners of like Moulton and Second and how they've changed. And it's just amazing. I'm super impressed with Decatur. I know sometimes people say that we're behind other communities, but we're right where we're supposed to be. And I love it.
Yeah. I mean, who has two downtowns? Oh,
us. Correct.
We do.
Just us.
Just us. We have the Decatur's. And I think it's so exciting. Like, I think what's been really neat and fun to watch is as businesses have continued to grow, then they're like, we have investors coming or small business owners, and they're like, hey, I see a need for this. And then they're making it happen. So like with the hotel, like that opens a whole new avenue of foot traffic with visitors staying downtown. And then also the dorms, like having students downtown. I just am so excited to see all of this coming to fruition. I think I've talked about this before, but a lot of the projects that even I've personally worked on, it took like 5 or 6 years to see it all really like start snowballing and becoming, seeing it come to fruition. I think everybody's been working so hard. And it's just a really exciting time, I think, in Decatur.
So, I think so, too.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah,
everyone's really working well together. And I think that's what we're really seeing so prominent right now is there's a lot of really – a lot of cogs in the machine, and they're all working really well together right now.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's been a lot of fun. So one last thing. So for like aspiring artists really interested in public art, like what would be your advice offered on their journey and their experiences?
Obviously studying. That's the most important thing. Let go of fear. I feel like I've always said this my entire life. Everyone's creative. The difference in what we call quote unquote creatives and non-creatives is that the creatives, we trust our process. And non-creatives don't trust their process, so they stop being creative. So I think artists, young artists, just trust themselves and go out and experiment wherever they can. Legally, you know, street art does take a large platform. So, you know, wherever you can. But honestly,
thank you,
my daughter is laughing right now so hard. But anyway,
do the right thing.
Please do the right thing. Don't get me in trouble. But really, the European street artists are, as with everything, they're just so far ahead of us. And that's what I've done all my studying is with European street art. It's the most profound and it's incredible. So really tapping in, following as many artists as you can. The great thing about artists is that they are super kind generally and don't mind sharing their insight. So talk to as many as you can. Get on Instagram. That's usually the platform that public artists use. Inbox them. Most of them love free labor. So you can get in your car, sleep in your car if you have to. I'm a huge proponent of make it happen in whatever way. I tell my daughter all the time, you need to go explore the world. I don't care if you have to sleep in your car, get in, go drive for 5 hours, see where you land, stay there for 24 hours, come back home. Like that's the only way that you can really gain independence in this world. And I think artists should do the same thing. Like if you see something's going up, inbox, hey, I'm free labor. Let me come help. There's just such a wealth of knowledge out there.
I love that. Yeah, after saying I'm not a creative, I'm like, oh, well, I guess I don't trust my process. I should think about that.
You should think about that.
I should. I used to draw dresses at one point because I wanted to be a fashion designer like in high school. Yeah, I think I got worse though. So maybe my process was not on point.
Or maybe you just started doubting yourself and thought that they were worse. But maybe an outside voice would have told you they were amazing.
Well, maybe I should bring back out my sketch pad.
I mean, isn't that your mom's work behind you?
Okay. Yes, it is.
It's
she
in
is
your
an
jeans.
Artist.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's in your well, jeans.
You're inspiring me, Glenn. Well, we're going to do our last segment here.
Okay.
And I'm sure, I can't wait to hear what Glenn has to say, but we're going to continue with our Did You Know segment. And in this segment, we ask our guests one last question before they leave. And we've asked Glenn to share a fun, cool, and interesting fact about herself that you probably have never heard of before. So did you know?
I am obsessed with crows.
What?
Yep.
Why?
I'm obsessed. Well, first of all, they're extremely intelligent.
They're
and they
spooky,
like shiny
though.
Things. No, they're not really. And
they
like
bring shiny
you-
things?
They do love shiny things, and they have great recall. And so, like, I feed the crows in my yard every day, and they will actually bring you trinkets to your doorstep as a thank you. They recognize your face, and so there's whole, like, communities of wild crow people. I guess I'm now one of them. I love them. I go outside in the morning. I throw my seeds and worms and bread out to them, and I call for them and they call back, and by 7:30 they're all sitting on the power lines at my house waiting for me to come out and feed them. It's the most amazing thing ever.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yep. I love them. I absolutely love them. Now, I will say my husband hates them. So
he's like, stop feeding the birds.
Stop. Well, especially because they're loud. So now sometimes they wake him up because sometimes they get there early. And they'll be outside calling. And he's like,
waiting for you to come out.
You did this to us. My goal is to retire and actually own a crow, but they're like $5,000. So,
what?
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever purchase one, but
why are they so expensive? Just because they're so wild?
I guess they're probably hard to, I don't know, but they're gorgeous. So,
okay.
I like magpies too, but crows are my favorite.
Well, I learned something new about you, Glenn. I always learn something new about you every time I talk to you, though. So. Thank you so much for coming on with us today. And we enjoyed learning about your story and the Chasing Art Project. How can people follow you, or how can they help and, I guess, invest in what you're trying to do?
So we do have an Instagram page, Chasing Art Decatur. And I think our Chasing Art Venmo is on that page. But we also have an account with the Community Foundation at the Chamber. And so anytime you would like to donate, you can write a check out to the Community Foundation. Make sure you put Chasing Art Project in the memo because there are several accounts over there as they help fund a lot of things in this town. And you will get your tax write-off for that donation. And we do need the funds. We have, like, I don't know, maybe $1,000 in the account right now. And most walls take between, like, a small wall we can do generally for about $2,500, but like a large wall, like the horse was well over $10,000. The wings were well over $25,000. So it takes our goal for our Mae Jameson is about $30,000 to get her up. So we need
so
some
every
funds.
Little bit counts, right?
It yeah, does. It does. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much, Glenn, again, for coming on with us. Make sure to follow her at the Chasing Art Project. And you can find us at Visit Decatur AL on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok, or visit our website at visitdecatural.org. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. This has been Find Your Flow in MoCo. This has been another episode of Find Your Flow MoCo, hosted by Danielle Gibson and produced by Relic.